بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. Brothers and sisters, ulama-i kiram and respected elders, the blessed month of Ramadan is approaching, and a lot of times every single Ramadan that passes, it passes by like almost like a ritual. And I know that I have this feeling after every Ramadan is over, and I'm pretty sure many of you have also experienced that same feeling. And that feeling is that whenever the month of Ramadan goes, I feel like there's so much more that I could have done, and there's so many more things that I could have achieved, and there are so much more spiritual accomplishments I could have attained during this month. But I always have that sense that, you know, I did not get what I really, really wanted and what I really would have done. And that is why sometimes, and I highly recommend this book, the Ramadan of Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakaria and our elders. I really recommend that everyone, inshallah, should get this book and make a ma'amul and be punctual of reading this in the month of Ramadan, a little bit before the month of Ramadan also, where that desire and that zeal is built that this month of Ramadan should not pass by just like any other month. And that is what the topic of this lecture, inshallah, is going to be, as to go through how we can make the best and how we can make the most of this Ramadan. How can we make this Ramadan a little bit different than the other Ramadans that have passed? So, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentioned, as we already discussed in the first lecture that I gave, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So I think if a Muslim and every individual, before he's coming into this blessed month, he has in his mind that this month is in order to attain taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Just remember this. If a person understands that this is the foundation, this is Allah's taqaza of us, this is Allah's demand of us, that we should attain the maqam of taqwa and consciousness of Allah Azza wa Jal during this month, then we have attained half the job is already done. And there is a hadith that I was discussing also with Mufti Saab before this lecture. It is the hadith of Salman, narrated by Ibn Khuzaymah. And the interesting thing about this hadith is, this hadith actually discusses what are the ways that we can make the best out of the month of Ramadan. And it discusses what are the wazaif and what are the different practices that we can do that are khas and specific and exclusive to the month of Ramadan. And there's a certain narrator in the hadith which there's a difference of opinion in the scholars regarding. But alhamdulillah, Imam Tirmizi considers him a reliable narrator. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has narrated his ahadith in his Adab al-Mufrad. And Imam Tahawi has also used him, and Imam Muslim has also used him in their various narrations and in their books. So for the sake of fada'il, for the sake of virtues, for the sake of those ahadith which encourage us to do good deeds, it is absolutely acceptable in the eyes of muhaddithin and in the eyes of prominent and great muhaddithin. So I will read that hadith, and why I am specifically mentioning that this hadith is because of what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has exhorted us to do in this month. So the hadith is narrated by Salman radiyallahu anhu, who says, خَطَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ فِي آخِرِ يَوْمٍ مِّن شَعْبَانِ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a sermon in the last day of Sha'ban. He gave us a bayan on the last day of Sha'ban. And he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ أَضَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ مُبَارَكٌ. That, O people, a very great month has dawned upon you, and a very blessed month has come upon you. شَهْرٌ فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. It is such a month that it is this month. There is a night in this month that is better than 1,000 months of worship. So, first of all, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Shahrun Azeem. Very immense, very great month. Now imagine when the Prophet is telling you that this is great. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that this is Mubarak. And Mubarak means it's a month. The definition of barakah that some ulama have given, barakah, which is Mubarak, yani blessed. They say that barakah is qaleelun kathirun nafa. Qaleelun kathirun nafa. That it is small in number or quantity, but it is very great in benefit and quality. So the month of Ramadan might be, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ayyaman ma'dudat. Right? Very few numbers of days. But in those days, Allah has power-packed each one of those days with great spiritual blessings. Great, great spiritual blessings. And I just wanted to remind, of, we had already mentioned this, I just want to reiterate, in this Ramadan of the elders, Dr. Ismail Maiman, he mentions a statement of Maulana Yusuf Saab, Maulana Yusuf Kandili, Maulana Yusuf Ludhianwi, rahmatullahi alayhi, Mufti Yusuf Ludhianwi. He says that when Allah Ta'ala says that كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, when he's speaking about the month of Ramadan and he's saying لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, perhaps you might attain taqwa. This لَعَلَّ of Allah Ta'ala, لَعَلَّ, it comes for raja, kalimatul raja, that perhaps it is hoped. So the ulama have mentioned that the لَعَلَّ of Allah is not possibility. The لَعَلَّ of Allah is yaqeen. The hope, when Allah Ta'ala says shayad, اس شاید میں یہ امید نہیں ہے, یقینی ہے. اللہ کی امید میں ضرور یقین ہے. That when Allah says, perhaps you might, yani you definitely will, on the condition that you fulfill Allah Ta'ala's command, and you fulfill the conditions that Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, inshallah you will definitely attain it. Because the la'alla of Allah Ta'ala is umid, but for Allah the umid is yaqeen. So this is the barakat of this month. فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, in it is a night which is better than 1,000 months. That is known. The surah of the Quran has been revealed. So there is no doubt about that. That ibadat on that night is better than ibadat of 1,000 months. Imagine, this is the barakah. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ صِيَامَهُ فَرِيضَةً, Allah Ta'ala has made the fasting in that month an obligation. وَقِيَامَ لَيْلِهِ تَطَوُّعًا, and Allah Ta'ala has made the standing in the nights, the Taraweeh prayers, an optional bonus for you. So we are involved in ibadat in the day, and we are involved in ibadat in the night. We are occupying our time with fasting in the day, and we are occupying our time with standing before Allah in the night. مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ فِيهِ بِخَصْلَةٍ مِّنَ الْخَيْرِ كَانَ كَمَنْ أَدَّى فَرِيضَةً فِي مَا سِوَاهُ, the one who performs one good deed, any good deed in this month, كَانَ كَمَنْ أَدَّى فَرِيضَةً فِي مَا سِوَاهُ, then he gets the reward as a person who has fulfilled the fard outside of the month of Ramadan. Yani every nafal or every optional act and every act of khayr is given the daraja and given the thawab of a fard act. وَمَنْ أَدَّى فَرِيضَةً فِيهِ كَانَ كَمَنْ أَدَّى سَبْعِينَ فَرِيضَةً فِي مَا سِوَاهُ, and the one who performs one obligatory act in it, yani you perform the faraiz in this month of Ramadan, it is as if you have performed, it's like 70 faraiz outside of the month of Ramadan. It is multiplied by 70. وَهُوَ شَهْرُ الصَّبْرِ, and it is a month of patience. وَالصَّبْرُ ثَوَابُهُ الْجَنَّةِ, and patience, the reward of it is Jannah. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that in this month, not only are you supposed to just be hungry, you are supposed to attain sabr. This is one of the qualities and one of the sifat. Like through every amal, we have to understand Allah Ta'ala is trying to build within us certain sifat. When we give zakat, there is a certain sifat Allah Ta'ala is trying to build within us. When we pray salah, there's a certain sifat which Allah Ta'ala is trying to engender and develop within us. When we go for Hajj, there's a certain sifat and quality, internal quality that Allah Ta'ala wants to engender within us. When we recite Quran, there is a certain quality, sifat that Allah Ta'ala wants to engender within us. When we fast in the month of Ramadan, there is a certain sifat and quality that Allah Ta'ala wants to develop within us. The intelligent person is the one who recognizes that through this amal, Allah wants to develop a certain sifat within me. Allah wants to make me a human being. Why is it that we have 5 daily salah? We have such amal in this deen and such practices, but these ritual practices have become so empty that sometimes you see certain non-Muslims, they have better character and better sifat than even Muslims. Why is that? Because they have not understood that these amal that Allah has made binding on me, what is the sifat, what is the quality that is supposed to be engendered in me through this amal? We pray 5 daily namaz. What is that supposed to engender? Khushu. Humility. Khudu. Humbleness. And motionlessness. Ghaddul basar. Guarding of the eyes. Hifdhul jawarih. Guarding of the limbs. All of these qualities. Khushu, khudu, hifdhul jawarih. Hifdhul lisan. Hifdhul ayn. Protection of the eyes. Protection of the ears. Protection of the tongue. Guarding of the heart. Guarding of the mind from floating in. What does that, just this one amal of salat, how many sifat does it build within us? If we were to just perform one amal and one fariḍa, with this in mind that Allah Ta'ala is trying to develop certain qualities within me, what would we become? But when we have made Islam these just ritual, empty ritual practices, that we do it like a time clock. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah said, he said, unfortunately, our namaz is like that twisting namaz clock. That you twist, 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 and all you need to do is do it, and it just does all the motion by itself. And then when it's up, then you have to twist it all again. He said, when we stand up for namaz, we say, Allahu Akbar, and then the whole, the person automatically, you go through all the motions without even thinking. You say takbir, and then at the end, you say the taslim, and in between, you don't know what has occurred, what has happened in between. Where was I in between? Was I in Iran or was I in Turan? Was I in North or South Pole? I don't know where I was. But as long as the namaz is done. This is when our amal, they become empty rituals. So in this, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, وَهُوَ شَهْرُ الصَّبْرِ, he is telling us, what are you supposed to attain? What is the sifat which is muta'allaq by this fasting? What is the quality which is related to this blessed month of fasting? It is sabr. Patience. وَالصَّبْرُ ثَوَابُهُ الْجَنَّةِ. And it is through this patience that you attain Jannah. Because one is that you stay hungry. Staying hungry, you don't get anything from staying hungry. You get angry. You get ticked off. You get moody. You get all different types of things, but you don't get patience. If a person understands that through this hunger, through this thirst, I am supposed to develop this sifat. And this sifat and this quality of sabr, when it is attained, I can implement the sabr in my home, with my wife. I can implement this sifat with my children. I can implement this sifat with my husband. I can implement this sifat and this quality at the workplace. I can implement this sifat and this quality out in the real world. So once this is attained, this quality of sabr now will take us wherever we want to go. It will better us as human beings. Because the purpose of this path is that we become human beings. Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Mujaddid Millat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, anyone who wants to come to this khanqa to become an abdal or a ghaus or a qutub, let him go somewhere else. This is not the purpose of my khanqa. This is not the purpose of my path. He said, the purpose of my path is, how can this khanqa make human beings? Insan bano. Agar abdal ghaus na bane, to koi baat nahi hai. Lekin insan bano, insan. Agar ghaus na bane, to koi kisi aadmi ke wo nuksan nahi hai. Lekin agar insan nahi bane, to puri dunya ke nuksan hai. Don't become ghaus. Allah has not demanded you to become ghaus or qutub or abdal. But what has Allah demanded us? That become insan. Because if you don't become ghaus, that's fine. Nobody is in loss. You're not even in loss. But if you don't become insan, the whole world is in loss. You're insan, but fi surati insan. The actual sifat is janwar sifat. Sifat of an animal. May Allah save us. These are those things. These are those amal that we recognize is supposed to make us a human being. Human being is not made through maal. Human being is made through amal. Maal doesn't make human being. Amal makes human beings. Buildings and bungalows, right? And bank account and cars and money. This does not make a human being. Human being is made through good deeds, righteous deeds, good sifat, character, akhlaq, muasharat, muamala. This is what makes a human being. Muhammad Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi mentioned, he said, Adamiyat lahmu shahmu post nest. Adamiyat juzrizai dost nest. Adamiyat lahmu shahmu post nest. Adamiyat juzrizai dost nest. He says, you're being an Adami. You're being a human being. It's not lahmu shahmu post. It's not meat and flesh and blood, skin. That doesn't make you a human being, that you have flesh and blood and skin and you walk upright on two legs. No, that's not what makes you a human being. What makes you an Adami? What makes you a human being? Adamiya juzrizai dost nest. You being a human being, what makes you an insan is that Allah is pleased with you. And you do those actions that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rizai dost. Allah ki rizah mandi. When a person has attained that, then you become Adami. Then you become human being. And this is what this month is supposed to engender within us. This is what it's supposed to build and develop to give us these qualities which make you a human being, which make you attain the rizah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So he says, وَهُوَ شَهْرُ الصَّبْرِ. And brothers and sisters, I'm mentioning certain usul. You should apply that usul everywhere. Like I'm saying, find the sifat in your deeds. Find the sifat that Allah is demanding us to engender in salah, and you'll be successful in your salah. Find the sifat and what Allah wants us to attain through fasting, and then you'll be successful in fasting. Find the quality that Allah wants us to attain in zakat, and you'll be successful and your zakat will be maqbool. Like zakat is supposed to engender generosity, but people give zakat and it engenders pride inside of them. This zakat is not acceptable. This zakat is not maqbool. You are giving, but it's supposed to engender within you what? Generosity. Generosity is open hand, open heart. But what happens? Instead of bringing that sakhawat, ghina in your qalb and in your heart, it's bringing about a pride that, look, I have given. Look at how generous I am. If that is not doing the job, your amal is not doing its job. It's not developing what it's supposed to develop. And like this, all the other actions. A person should make tadabbur. Allah give us the understanding of that. وَهُوَ شَهْرُ الْمُوَاسَاهُ. It is the month of hamdardi. It is the month of compassion and concern for others. That why is it the month of compassion and mercy? Is that when you are hungry, you start feeling how other people feel. You start feeling how other people suffer. And you're like, I'm hungry like this for 10, 12 hours. There's people that are hungry like this for 3, 4 days. In Pakistan, in India, in Afghanistan, in Somalia, in Nigeria, there's people like this all day and all night. I'm like this for 10 hours and mashallah, beautiful iftari, beautiful sahri I'm having. But what is happening to people that are like this all the time? Subhanallah, muasat, that compassion is built within the heart. وَشَهْرٌ يُزَادُ فِي رِزْقِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. And it is that month which Allah, through the barakat of this month, increases the rizq of a believer. You come to the masjid, subhanallah, this is a month, even in Haram Sharif that we used to go, there would be no way that a person doesn't have anything to make iftar on. You will not find this, that in the month of Ramadan, a person who is fasting and he doesn't have a family and he doesn't have any acquaintances, you will not find that situation where bichara, he won't have anything to make iftar upon. Anywhere you go, alhamdulillah, the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is farawan. The rizq of Allah azza wa jal is open and superfluous anywhere you want to go. Plenty rizq of Allah azza wa jal in this month. Man fattara sa'iman كان مغفرة لذنوبه وإتق رقبته من النار. The one who, not only does he break his fast, but he is making someone and giving someone iftar in this month. So you are also making iftar, but you invite someone and you give the iftari of somebody. You help somebody by either giving him money or giving him some dates or giving him some water or inviting him for proper iftari, whatever the case may be. The reward of that, Allah forgives your sins and Allah saves you from the fire of Jahannam. Subhanallah, just by doing that, giving someone else iftari. وَكَانَ لَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَنْقُصَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَجْرِهِ شَيْءٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the ajr of the fast of that person also, without taking away from the ajr of him in any way. You get the reward of his fasting also. So you get the reward of double. When you're doing iftar of somebody, the one you give iftari to, you get the ajr of his fasting also, without Allah taking away from his ajr. So the sahaba, when they heard this, all of this subhanallah blessings of Ramadan, قالوا يا رسول الله ليس كلنا يجد ما يفطر الصائم. Ya Rasulullah, every one of us does not have the capability of doing iftari. Some of us are poor and we can't feed so many people. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعطي الله هذا الثواب من فطر صائما على تمرة أو شربة ماء أو مذقة لبن. Subhanallah. He said, don't worry, Allah will give the same reward for the one who gives even one kajur, one date, or one sip of water, or one gulp of milk. You will get the same ajr as if you gave someone full iftari, even if you give one date. Subhanallah. Why is this? Because the main thing is that you are supposed to feel that hamdardi. It's supposed to engender generosity. It's supposed to engender love. When you're feeding someone, when you're giving someone, when you're serving someone, it creates that muhabbat. It creates that mawaddat. It creates that compassion and love and unity in the ummah. And this is why, even if you're giving one date, that one date makes someone happy. Someone brings you a cup of water, it makes you feel happy that, look, this is my brother, he cares about me, he's concerned about me. This is the purpose. The actual purpose is not feeding somebody. The actual purpose is the thought and the care and the compassion. A lot of people, maybe many people, your neighbors or your fellow employees at work or your fellow students at school, they think that, so what's the purpose of Ramadan, right? What's the purpose of Ramadan? You guys don't eat anything and don't drink anything. This hadith is so beautifully explaining what is the hikmah, what is the wisdom of this blessed month, that the blessed month has nothing to do, as we see, with hunger and thirst. This blessed month has nothing to do with staying hungry and thirsty. Look at all of these sifat. Look at all of these qualities. Compassion and mercy and sabr and patience. And having love for others and serving others. This is the actual spirit of the month of Ramadan. And mashallah, this hadith explains it perfectly. وَهُوَ شَهْرٌ أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةٌ وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَآخِرُهُ عِتْقٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. And the Prophet ﷺ said that this is such a month that the first 10 days is mercy, and the middle 10 days is forgiveness, and the last 10 days is freedom from the hellfire. The first 10 days is rahmah. The second 10 days is maghfirah, forgiveness. And the last 10 days is itqum min an-nar, freedom from the fire of Jahannam. مَنْ خَفَّفَ عَمْ مَمْلُوكِهِ فِيهِ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Anyone who goes easy on his workers in this month, Allah goes easy upon him. Subhanallah. Again, what is this teaching us? Compassion. Caring for others. You know that you have worker, you know you have employee in your business. For example, you're a factory owner, you're a business owner, you're a teacher, you have people under you. Now, in this month, you know that they're also fasting, they're also working. You say, you know what, let me go easy on them. Okay, you're supposed to get out at 8 o'clock tonight, I let you out on 6 o'clock tonight. Take it easy. The one who takes it easy on his employee and on his workers, Allah will take it easy on him. Again, teaching us compassion, teaching us mercy. Similarly on your students, similarly on our wives and on our children. Everybody's fasting, everybody's going through what you're going through. So man khaffafa an mamlukihi fihi ghafar Allahu lahu wa a'taqahu min an-nar. The one who goes easy on his workers or goes easy on his servants, then what does Allah Ta'ala do? Allah forgives him. And Allah saves him from the hellfire. Why? Because the one who shows mercy, Allah will show mercy to him. وَاسْتَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعِ خِصَالٍ. And this is the main point, subhanAllah, which Nabi Kareem SAW now is telling us, what are the things that we should do? Sometimes the month of Ramadan comes like, man, I don't know what to do. What should I do? Should I read extra Quran? Should I make zikr? Should I spend time in the masjid? Like, what should I do? So Nabi Kareem SAW himself has told us now, what should we do now in this month? What are the wazifas that we can read? And these are wada'if nabawiyya. So these are more, mashallah, something that we can rely upon, because these are the wazifas that Nabi Kareem SAW himself has given us, inshaAllah ta'ala. So he says, وَاسْتَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعِ خِصَالٍ. You should abundantly do these four things. Four things. Four things extra we should do according to this hadith. خَصْلَتَيْنِ تُرْضُونَ بِهِمَا رَبَّكُمْ وَخَصْلَتَيْنِ لَا غِنَاءَ بِكُمْ عَنْهُمَا. He says two qualities that it will please your Lord. And two qualities that you have no choice but to do them. There's no way that you can do without them. As for the first two ones, أَمَّا الْخَصْلَتَانِ أَلَّتَانِ تُرْضُونَ بِهِمَا رَبَّكُمْ. As for those two qualities which you make your Lord happy, what is that? فَشَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَتَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ. These are the two qualities that make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. That you say abundant La ilaha illallah, kalima tayyiba, first kalima. So we should try to the best of our ability, abundant kalima tayyiba, first kalima, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. After every few, say Muhammadur Rasulullah, making at least one tasbih morning and evening, trying to the best of our ability to do one extra tasbih morning and evening of La ilaha illallah. One tasbih means 100 times. So La ilaha illallah. And also tastaghfirunahu, to make abundant istighfar. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Or astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa tubu ilayhi. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa tubu ilayhi. Any istighfar which is easy for you. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Any istighfar. This is another wazifa that we should do abundantly in this blessed month. And probably the purpose of istighfar, somebody might ask, why do I have to make istighfar? I didn't do any guna. No guna to make it. What is the purpose of making istighfar? Astaghfirullah. I didn't do any guna. What's the purpose of doing istighfar? So subhanAllah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah was that after namaz he would say istighfar three times. He would say Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. After every fard namaz. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah. After every fard namaz, he would say, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. So ulama asked, you just did a fard namaz. You didn't commit any guna. You didn't do any lie. You didn't do any cheating. You didn't do zina. You didn't drink wine. Why are you saying astaghfar after namaz? And they say the purpose of that istighfar is asking Allah forgiveness for not being able to fulfill his haqq. Asking Allah forgiveness for not being able to fulfill the right of Allah's ibadat, for not being able to fulfill the haqq of Allah's azamat. Allah is so azimul shan. Allah is so great. Does our fasting, is it layak of Him? Is it worthy of Him? Is He deserving of this weak ibadat that we're doing? So we say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, that my ibadat, that my fasting, that my roza, that my prayer, nothing is worthy of You, O Allah. Astaghfirullah, I am making istighfar. SubhanAllah. وَأَمَّا الْخَصْلَتَانِ اللَّتَانِ لَا غِنَاءَ بِكُمْ عَنْهُمَا. And as for those qualities which you have no choice but to do them, you must do them, you need them, there's no way out of it, two things you must do. فَتَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةَ. Asking Allah Ta'ala Jannah. We have to do this. We have to do this. We're asking Allah, Ya Allah, grant us Your pleasure, grant us Jannah. وَتَعُوذُونَ بِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. And seek refuge in Allah from the hellfire. Ya Allah, we cannot tolerate the hellfire. Ya Allah, we cannot tolerate the suffering in Jahannam. Not even 1 second, not even 1 minute. Not even looking from far away the fire of Jahannam. This is something which we are incapable of. Ya Allah, grant us Jannah and save us from your hellfire. And then he continues. So these are the four wazifas of the Blessed Month of Ramadan. Man saqa sa'iman, saqahu Allahu min hawli sharbatan la yadhma'u hatta yadkhul al-jannah. And anyone who gives even one sip of water, anyone who gives drink to a person who is fasting, then Allah will give him drink from my house of Kawthar, from my pond of water on the day of judgment. And they say that the water is ahla min al-asal wa abyadu min al-thalj. It is more sweeter than honey, and it is more fragrant than musk, and it is more whiter than snow, that water of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the house of Kawthar on the day of judgment. And the cups will be more than the stars in the sky. And the one who is being given this water will be Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. The one who gives drink to a person who is fasting, Allah will give him drink from Hawza Kawthar. May Allah give us all of that. And he will not thirst on that day, on the day of judgment. Sharbatan la yadhma'u hatta yadkhul al-jannah. He will give him such a drink that he will not thirst until he enters paradise. So this was the hadith of Ibn Khuzaymah. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal upon this. And I just wanted to keep it short. I have actually these guidelines of the same thing that has been mentioned. Special guidelines and advices for the blessed month of Ramadan. Our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, he has compiled these guidelines and advices, khususi hidayat, barai Mah Ramadan. And we have translated this for the benefit of all of the listeners, inshallah, for the brothers and sisters. And he adds on this hadith that we read of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has added some more things. And he mentions, number one, abundant recitation of kalima. Number two, abundant istighfar, repentance. Number three, asking Allah for Jannah. Number four, seeking protection from the hellfire. Number five, Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib mentions, reciting Quran as much as possible. Because this month of Ramadan is month of Quran. Allah says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is the month in which Allah revealed the Quran. So this is, we should give special tawajjuh and special attention to the Quran in this blessed month. Try to make a tarteeb for yourself where at least you make one khatam of the Quran daily. And number six, abundant salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib mentioned something unique which is not in this hadith and I've not read anywhere either. And the reasoning behind this, why do we send salutations and salawat and durood sharif on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this blessed month? Because it is through Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah has given us this blessings. If we were not part of this ummah, if we were not part of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would we be fasting in this month? So the barakats of this month and the blessings of this month we are attaining because we are the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we did at the first lecture that I gave, أُعْطِيَتْ أُمَّتِي فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانَ خَمْسًا لَمْ يُعْطَهُنَّ نَبِيٌ قَبْلِي. That my ummah has been given five things that no other ummah has been given. We are part of that ummah. So what is the way we can thank Allah Ta'ala for being part of this ummah? Is sending salutations upon Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Asking Allah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah, we can never repay Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We can never give him back. Someone who does ihsan to you, someone who does goodness to you, how can you ever pay him back? There's a way. If he saved your life, okay, you try to devote yourself to him and do good things for him. And he, you know, lends you $100 when you needed it, okay, do something for him. But when the person and the shakhsiyat and the personality of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has done such ihsan to us that we can never ever pay him back. Dunya mein, akhirat mein, in whatever you can imagine, neither in this life nor in the hereafter, that he has given us everlasting salvation. How can we pay him back? Therefore, there is no way that we can pay him back. Allah has taught us how to pay him back. One way. Allahumma, Allahumma, oh Allah, you, salli ala Muhammad, you pay him back. We can't pay him, oh Allah, you pay him. And how you pay him? Salawat, yani rahmat. khas rahmat. Oh Allah, you send your rahmat upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon the family of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the reality of Durood Sharif. So when I was thinking, what is the khasiyat of Durood Sharif in the month of Ramadan? We should definitely read as much Durood Sharif, because it is through this blessed Nabi that we have attained these blessings. Otherwise, if we were not a Muslim, through reading the kalim of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where would we be in the month of Ramadan? Just like everybody else. Ghafil. But alhamdulillah that Allah gave us these blessings through the mercy of Rahmatul Alameen. So try as much as you can to read abundant salawat on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this month, at least 300 times. Very simple. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can say 10 of them in 5 seconds, right? So number 7, making an effort to be punctual on performing salah in congregation with takbir ula. A lot of times in the month of Ramadan, I'm fasting, so namaz chutti. Some people wake up for iftar, they wake up for sahur. They wake up for sahur and they go back to sleep. No namaz. Subhanallah, the barakat of waking up in the month of Ramadan at the time of mercy, and you wake up and you do suhoor and then you go to sleep. Just wait another 15 minutes. You made so much mujahada waking up 3, 4 in the morning. Now just wait another 15, 20 minutes or another half hour. It's a small time. Pray your salah to the best of your ability and then rest. If you need to do, then rest. But do not miss your salawat and your namaz in the month of Ramadan. How sad is it that in the month of Ramadan we are giving attention to one fard, but we're forgetting the other fard. We're giving attention to fasting and we're completely forgetting about salat. We have to remember that there is another fard also, which is the prayer with congregation. And to the best of our ability, to perform that in the masjid with takbir ula if it's possible. This is the way, and this is what he's saying, that khususi hidayat, those things that, how can we make the most of it? Try to exert yourself in this blessed month of doing this. Number 8, arriving early for the Taraweeh prayers so as to perform the Isha Salat in Jamaat. Because sometimes when we got caught up at the iftar parties, you know the iftar parties? So we get caught up in the iftar parties, we end up in gupshup, chai, vai, this, that, and we end up talking and we miss Isha Namaz and we come. And so many times the people ask this question, Maulana, so if we miss Isha Namaz, so should we pray Taraweeh first or then we pray Isha Salat? Which one should we? Obviously. You have to pray your Isha. The fard is more important than the nafil. Taraweeh is nafil. It's a nafil which is sunnah mu'akkada. But how can you pray Taraweeh without even praying your fard namaz? We exert ourselves, we make so much effort in coming for Taraweeh namaz, but Taraweeh namaz is not even a farz. The farz is more important that you should come to. Priorities. We should not get our priorities mixed up. So trying to come early for the Taraweeh prayers so as that we catch Salatul Isha also with Takbir Ula in the masjid. Number 9, spending one's spare time in the masjid with the intention of i'tikaf. Remember what we mentioned, that this month of Ramadan is a month where we try to completely, you know, the all of the guna and all of the sins and all of the defilement and spiritual sicknesses that were accumulated in our hearts, we try to the best of our ability in this blessed month to now spend time in the house of Allah Ta'ala. And the house of Allah has an ajib effect. Right now we're sitting. But there's internally the cleaners, the laundromat is on. Recycle. It's getting recycled and purified from the inside. They said when a person enters the masjid and he sits in the masjid, no salah, no nothing, no dhikr, no talking, no Quran, he's just sitting. No other ibadat he's doing. Even sitting in the masjid is ibadat. Sitting in the masjid, khamosh, baithe huye, bechara, he's not doing anything. No Quran, no tilawat, no zikr, no durood sharif, nothing. He's just sitting. This sitting in the masjid is ibadat. And the person who comes in the masjid and he's sitting, waiting for a salah, the angels make two du'as for him. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu. The meter is on. Two du'as. When you enter the masjid, two du'as the angels are making for you. When you are in the masjid, the meter of the angels is on. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu. Oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, have mercy on him. Oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, have mercy on him. Until you break your wudu. And when your wudu is broken, then the meter stops. the meter stops. Then you have to go back, make wudu, come back, and then the meter's on again. And it's a beautiful thing. Ibn Abi Jamrah al-Maliki, rahimahullah, he mentioned. He said that a man came to me and he said, Shaykh, I've made a lot of sins in my life. I made a lot of guna in my life. And I've made tawbah sincerely to Allah, but I still feel this, I don't know, I feel lousy. I feel like there's something, you know, that's missing. I still feel so deficient. And I still feel guilty for what I did. So Ibn Abi Jamrah rahmatullah alayhi told him, he said, I'll tell you a way of removing that sense. He said, what is that? He said, just go inside of the masjid and sit in the masjid as long as possible. He said, so what should I read? Read Quran or read a wazifa or something? He said, no, just go in the masjid and sit for as long intervals. Whenever you get spare time, just go and just sit inside the masjid. He said, but Shaykh, I don't understand. Like, I'm just sitting there. What is that going to do? He said, haven't you read the hadith? When a person goes and sits in the masjid, waiting for a salat, then the angels are making dua. Allahumma ighfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu. Allahumma ighfir lahu, Allahumma... Oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, have mercy on him. So if the forgiveness of yourself was not enough for you, then inshallah, the forgiveness of the angels should be enough for you. The forgiveness of the angels who are masoom. They are such creatures and creations of Allah Ta'ala that their dua, can their dua be unaccepted by Allah? Can Allah make rad of the dua of an angel? We say we want the dua of Allah wala, right? Dua of a shaykh, dua of a very pious man. Hazrat, please make dua for me. We have so much i'tiqad and we're mutaqid of that person that please make dua for me so that you're a very pious person. Who can be more pious than an angel? Is there anyone more pious than an angel? When someone becomes very pious, we call him, he's mashallah, finishta. This guy is like an angel. This guy is like very pious. Now when the angels are making dua for you, then what do you need? So we should try to the best of our ability in this month. That is why sitting in the masjid has an effective tarbiyat. Those people that come, frequent the masajid, sit in the masjid, make dhikr, reflect, think about your life, think about your sins, cry over your sins, rectify yourself. It has an ajeeb effect of purification of the heart. So number 9 was spending one spare time in the masjid for the intention of i'tikaf. Number 10, giving as much charity as possible. Try in this month of Ramadan, give sadaqah. Why? Because this is the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW in this month. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود من الريح المرسلة في هذا الشهر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, as mentioned in Hadith of Bukhari, كان أجود من الريح المرسلة. He was more generous than a flow, than a blowing wind. You know, like a wind, when it blows, it doesn't ask that, should I blow on this person or blow on this person? When it blows, it benefits everyone. When this fan is blowing, all of us are feeling the effects of this fan. The fan doesn't have any discrimination. The wind doesn't discriminate that I'm going to blow on the good person and I'm not going to blow on the bad person. And I'm going to blow on the poor person. When the wind blows, the wind is so generous that it blows upon everybody. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Ramadan was so generous that he would give to anyone and everyone. And he was generous just like the blowing wind, that he would not discriminate in his generosity. That I will be generous to this person, but not to this person. No. Give to whoever has made this taqaza, inshaAllah, in this month of Ramadan, with the intention of fulfilling a sunnah. Number 11, very important. Be very cautious of falling into useless and vain talk. Sometimes we come in the masjid, gapshap, ghibat, talking this, talking that. And in the month of Ramadan, while we are in a state of fasting, all of the rewards and all of the blessings of our fasting is lost because of the ghibat and because of the vain talk and useless speech that we do. Remember that this blessed month of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ told us one advice. مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعْ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. That the one who does not leave evil speech, and the one that doesn't leave fuzul bate, evil speech, useless speech, vain talk, the one who doesn't leave that, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ. Allah koi hajat nahi hai for you to remain hungry and thirsty. Allah doesn't need your hunger and thirst. And you're just speaking bad things and looking at bad things and listening to bad things. We've already discussed that, so I'm not going to go in detail. So, without any dire need, one should not get involved in even worldly talk. Don't talk. This is the month of Ramadan. Choro dunya ke baate. Try to abundantly make the dhikr of Allah in remembrance of Allah. Number 12, most important, the greatest ibadat is staying away from sins. Chishim bandu, gosh bandu, labban, garnabini, nuri hakbar man bikhan. Close your eyes from evil, and close your ears from evil, and close your tongue from evil, and if you don't see the light of Allah in your heart, then laugh at me. This is to accumulate the light and the nur and the effulgence and the illumination of this fasting to create and engender this in the heart. How do we do that? Is abstain from committing sins. Especially watching shameless and useless movies and programs. And I want to emphasize this. Iftar is going on in the television. Suhoor is going on in television. And in this month of Ramadan, cereals. They have these cereals which are specific in the month of Ramadan. And this has become a major sickness even in the Arab countries. In the Arab countries, they have cereals where if you watch one, then you have to watch the next one. And then the next one. And then the next one. You can't miss it because you want to know what happens next. They catch you. They hook you. And now that time which is supposed to be spent in ibadat, that time is supposed to be spent in dua, that time which is supposed to be spent in making munajat with your Lord, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and absorbing the nur and the blessings of this month, is spent in watching these useless and many times shameless programs. Also, guard ourselves from lustful glances, backbiting, gambling, listening to music, neglecting the hijab, cursing, arguing, all of these things, doing anything mukhalafat of the sunnah. Because Allah ta'ala does not reward the fast of such a person who is simultaneously involved in constant sin while fasting. You're in sin. Pet me roza. And you're involved in sin at the same time. How can that be? So a person should guard himself to the best of his ability to not get involved in any sins. Because such a fast does not attain the benefits and the rewards of fasting. It has been mentioned in one hadith, As-siyamu junna. Fasting is a shield. Fasting is a shield and it guards you from the fire of Jahannam. As long as a person doesn't tear down that shield. And tearing down of the shield is getting involved in sins. So when a person gets involved in sins, now that fast does not have the ability to block away the fire of Jahannam. Important note, Hazrat Ma'abar al-Haqsab says, a person should ponder over this fact that during fasting, a person leaves food and drink, which are the necessities of life. Tobacco, coffee, all other addictions were also abandoned in this month in order to fulfill the commandment of Allah. Such a difficult task was accomplished in order to attain the blessings and rewards of fasting. So a person goes through so much difficulties to leave coffee, tea, pan, this, that. Some people can't, you know, if they don't have, then they start getting headache. But they will even sacrifice that. Like me, I have a caffeine problem. If I don't have my coffee, if I don't have my tea at a specific time, I start getting a headache. In the month of Ramadan, I will tolerate that. I will bring the headache on myself. I will sacrifice my tea and my coffee and all of that. So when a person is ready to undergo so much difficulties, and these are not even your necessities, you're giving up these things which are so difficult. So a person goes through, Hazrat is saying, a person goes through so much difficulties to leave those things which were necessities of our lives. So how inappropriate and wrong is it to increase in those actions which were worthy of abandoning in the first place? You are leaving the necessities. And now you're getting involved in those things which are not only they're not necessities, you should have abandoned them long time ago. You're doing things that are they're poison. Food and drink you're leaving. Food and drink is your necessities. But now you're doing those things which are poison for you. You're doing those things which are killing you. You're doing those things which are spiritually destroying you. So a person goes through such difficulties and leaving those things which were necessities of our life, how inappropriate and wrong is it to increase in those actions which were worthy of abandoning in the first place? It has been mentioned in one hadith that anyone who does not leave evil speech and acting on that evil speech, then Allah is in no need of him leaving his food and drink. May Allah, inshallah, by making a sincere effort and striving, Allah makes the most difficult tasks extremely easy out of his mercy. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to attain the maximum rewards of our fasting, inshallah. Wa barakallahu feekum. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك.
I feel sorry about this person who's sitting home and missing Takbir-e-Ula, missing first Saf of Safa, and rushing and to the mosque after when Imam already said Takbir-e-Ula, and he's just sitting home and not knowing how much nuksan he's getting from this kind. He's losing three things. He's losing Takbir-e-Ula, he's losing the Imam Dua, and he's losing the first rakat of Namaz. And I always try to tell everybody, please, when you are sitting home, please spare your time. Come forward, come early, sit down, so you have Takbir-e-Ula. So you have a Dua with the Imam, and you have first rakat in the first Saf.
La ilaha illallah. We just combine it. La ilaha illallah.